Shalom, good morning. This is Radio Shalom coming to you through Planet 104.6 FM. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, listeners.
Welcome to Jules and welcome to Rabbi. And Rabbi, today we're talking about
Shavuot.
So what are we celebrating and what are we eating?
Oh, very good question. And I've got an answer for you, a special one.
Plenty and lots.
So Shavuot is a very special festival. There's a joke about the food that we have all during the year with the different festivals. So it goes like that. Rosh Hashanah, we want to eat, but the service is too long. On Yom Kippur, we can't eat. On Sukkot, there's no way to eat because you have to have the sukkah. On Pesach, there's nothing to eat. So we have left with Shavuot, with beautiful food, like cheesecakes. Cheesecakes, but it's only one day.
It's only one day. That's right.
Because the other 2 days in the diaspora, though. We do have the chance to celebrate 2 days.
So can we correct
the best food we only can have for 1 day.
Can we do something about that? Eight days.
We can do. You can take 8 cheesecakes and put candles on
about that. But that's right. So Shalosh Regalim. Pesach is 8 days in the diaspora.
Yeah.
Sukkot, 8 days in the diaspora, and Shavuot, a mere 2 days. What about whiskey?
Whiskey is allowed on Shavuot.
Pesach, nah?
No.
Sukkot, yes?
Yes.
Okay, so where's the whiskey?
What's happening here? Yuck.
That's not true. It's very important.
Right, Shavuot.
For the wine.
Shavuot is, in a way, a continuation. Not in a way, it's actually a very valid festival connected to Pesach. If Pesach, we celebrate our physical freedom, we left Egypt, we've been in Egypt 210 years as slaves, we remember where we started as a nation. But the destination wasn't just to be free people. Always, if you read the Torah around the story of Pesach, you'll see that Moses always told Pharaoh that Hashem wants the people of Israel to be free so they can worship God on that mountain, referring to Mount Sinai. They didn't know yet they're going to Mount Sinai, but the destination was there. The purpose of the Exodus was not just the physical freedom, but also to reach spiritual freedom. And that elevation takes place through the days of the Omer, counting of the Omer. Shavuot is the only festival in the Torah that the Torah doesn't give us the date. We don't know the date of Shavuot. The only date, so to speak, we have to calculate. The Torah tells us that the second day of Pesach, we need to start to count the Omer. The Omer is the beginning of the harvest season.
But when do they start planting and being able to harvest?
So start,
because you have to be in one place. You can't be on the move.
Yeah. So that already the laws were given in for the time that the people of Israel will come to the land of Israel. And they have their own land and they will farm the land. That was the idea. Shavuot was not yet a festival before they received the Torah, obviously. Right? So
that's the explanation.
Exactly. So once they arrived to the land of Israel, the counting of the Omer, there was a celebration every single day in the temple offering the harvest, offering the first wheat that was...
Was that pilgrimages too?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's one of the three pilgrims festivals. And every single day from Pesach to Shavuot, we have exactly 50 days. We count 49 days, 7 whole weeks, and the 50th day is the day where we know that the Torah was given. The Torah doesn't give us an explanation why to celebrate Shavuot. It just tells us that after those 7 weeks, you have to have a festival to Hashem, to God. Interestingly, the sacrifice as well is a very special one. If on Pesach we know that we cannot bring chametz, the only thing that we eat is matzah, of course, on Shavuot we have to bring 2 loaves of bread. It's the opposite. Now we're ready to eat bread. After we elevated ourselves through the days of the Omer, through this anticipation to the giving of the Torah, to that amazing gift that God has brought to the Jewish people. But not only to the Jewish people, to the entire world. The Ten Commandments were given on Mount Sinai on that day.
That's the biggest gift of all.
This is the biggest gift of all, absolutely. And every single year we celebrate that. And we again grateful for the gift that Hashem has given to us. Every single day we need to feel that this is an important part of our lives. The Torah is an important part of our lives. And that's the reason, by the way, from all the festivals, there is no special commandment for that festival. We know that on Rosh Hashanah, what do we have? The opening single of this radio, Shofar. That's the mitzvah from the Torah, to hear the Shofar. On Yom Kippur, what do we have?
The end of the Yom Kippur.
Yes, but that's not the mitzvah. That's not the commandment. The commandment is too fast. So it's something different. On Sukkot, what do we have?
Sukkah.
The sukkah, the four spices, the lulav. On Pesach, what do we have?
Matzah.
The matzah. What do we have on Shavuot?
Cheesecake.
Cheesecakes. That's not from the Torah, though. That's not a Torah law.
Whiskey.
That's not a commandment to eat cheesecakes. You can live
whiskey is a bit closer because, you know, it's supposed to bring the first grain. So what do we do with the first grain? Make
single
whiskey.
Malt.
Single malt.
I didn't know that whiskey was made out of grain.
Yeah. Yeah, from
you're
barley.
Learning.
Wine, I can tell you. Yeah. Whiskey
is made out of grain. Barley. Yeah.
So that's the only festival that we don't have a commandment. Because what do we celebrate? We celebrate something that we have to have it every single day. We can't live without the Torah. We can't live without the guidance of the Torah. We can't live without this connection, this gift that Hashem has given to us. And it's like, you can imagine the Moses coming down from the mountain and giving the Torah to the people of Israel. This is why we're saying it's the festival of the giving of the Torah, not receiving of the Torah. Mm. Right? Because Hashem is giving it to us, but he's still holding it from the other side, and we need to hold it from the other side. It's like, you can imagine, the love gift it. Is the connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that analogy, it. That the gift is the connection.
Yeah. This is what brings us closer to God.
But I also know that reading the Torah, you really need people to explain. You really need commentators. Because there's so much that you can't understand or didn't quite know what it means. So the fact that you, through the centuries, you had all these different commentators who don't agree anyway.
Lovely. Absolutely lovely. But let me go the other side. There's so much that I don't know, and I still read the Torah without tuition. I love tuition, and I get it, but I read it, and those parts that I do understand or that I think that I understand, I absolutely love.
Well, it's part of our neshama.
It's part of our neshama.
This is the beauty of the Torah. Our rabbi says that there are 70 different faces, so to speak, to the Torah. Afochba and afochba dechulaba. The Gemara says you can dig and dig and still find new fresh water in the Torah. That's amazing. This is not just a type of science that once you investigate it, you learned it, that's it. You know, you can keep it in the closet.
How old do you have to be to learn?
You can store it in your brain and you achieved it. Every single day, and this is interesting as well, our rabbis in the Talmud are not actually called rabbis. This is something really new, so to speak. They are called Talmidei Chachamim, students, scholars. They are still students. They are scholars, but they are students. Because we keep on learning. The journey should never stop of learning.
What I was impressed with, that we've had so many philosophers through the ages who've commented. And I now know that people through the internet are forming groups and still discussing on the internet what they think the meanings are and so on. So there's a whole new dimension of people through the world getting together and talking about it.
That's right.
And it's growing in popularity with groups like Meetup. You can discuss anything. Torah study, there's immeasurable number of places that you can go with all kinds of interactive study. So the internet has changed our world.
That's another bonus.
Another bonus.
You think Hashem gave it to internet to us just so that there could be more discussion?
Yeah, it's similar to who's the greatest rabbi of all times. Do you know his name? Can you think of? His name is Rabbi Google.
Rabbi Google.
But the truth of the matter is, yeah, the truth of the matter is that the obligation to study is not to delegate it just to your rabbi. The obligation to study is upon each and one of us, men, women, children. This is what keeps us together all this time. Even through the exile, even through the hardest time that Jewish people went through, always the learning was the connection, was the inspiring point that makes us, made us so strong and believe that ultimately there's something that we need to reach out, something that we need to learn from and cruise through all those times. It's an unbelievable source of knowledge, but also deeper than that, it's a source of connection. It is something, it's the food for the soul. Learning Torah is food for the soul. It's not just for our brain. It is. It's very deep. If you learn the Talmud, you see the rabbis and the arguments is all legal cases there that any professor in any Harvard University would be astonished by the depth of that. But more than that, there is a deeper connection to something that is greater than us. It's not a science that was given by human being, but rather by God Himself.
I suppose the best example is Hashem says, "Do not cook a kid in its mother's milk." And the number of books, volumes have been written on meat and milk is huge. And I remember going to a class once, and this is the depth of things. For me, it was the depth of things. A question was asked, dealing with milk and meat, if a cow is killed and there's milk in the udder, can you drink the milk? Can you eat the udder? And the answer was, well, you know, that if there's meat and milk, you can't have meat and milk, so they both trafe. But the answer was, if, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is memory, if the milk has been in the udder for less than 24 hours, then you can. If it's after 24 hours, then the enzymes from the meat and the enzymes from the milk are starting to dissolve and mix with each other, then you can't have it. Now, from a big thing, there's so many minute things that you can discuss, and this is one of them. I walked away from that class and like my mind was racing. What do we know? How long will it take for me to learn the 70 levels? How many years? Can you count it in years? 1,000?
No. The greatest scholars and the rabbis all their lives studied and never stopped. Exactly.
So I'm going to continue studying after I'm not on this planet anymore.
Interestingly, there is a story in the Gemara of Shabbat in the Talmud about Moshe Rabbeinu that was on Mount Sinai, about to receive the Torah, and through that Hashem is teaching him the whole Torah. If there is one who knew everything, almost everything, was Moshe. And then is writing the Torah, and you know on the writing of the Torah, if you look at the scroll, you'll see there's also beautiful, like the top of the letter, some of the letters, there's like a little crowns, a little decorations. And he couldn't understand why he needs to write in that shape, the letter in this very specific way. So Hashem has shown him the future and told him about Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was one of the greatest Tanaim, one of the greatest rabbis in time during the time of the Mishnah, and Hashem has shown him that Rabbi Akiva is teaching the students, and he's teaching one of the halachot, one of the laws. Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, were sitting at the back row of the classroom of Rabbi Akiva, and Moshe, his mind is running around, and he cannot figure out what Rabbi Akiva is talking about, and that was mind blowing for Moshe Rabbeinu until. In that specific case, one of the students asked, Rabbi, how did you figure that? What is the reason for that? And then Rabbi Akiva says, Halacha le Moshe Misinai. This is a law that Moses got from Mount Sinai. And that for Moshe Rabbeinu, for Moses, was the answer. I mean, even Moshe Rabbeinu could not grasp later on the level of this, so to speak, the details and everything until, what is that? Until Rabbi Akiva said, this is all connected to what Moshe Rabbeinu brought us from Mount Sinai. We have to see what each time we study, we're actually connecting ourselves to that moment of revelation. That moment that God appeared on Mount Sinai and gave us the Torah. That's an amazing message.
And all the instructions for the instruction manual.
But this is what we needed to see in both ways. If we just see it as something that, it's all about the details and the small details and it's really annoying, then we don't see the big picture. If we only see the big picture, then it's not really guiding us enough. It's not coming through all the details, right? Therefore, we need both. We need to, when we learn, when we study, we need, to know the details and try to follow the details, but not to be too worried about all the details, because then we forget the big picture. So it always has to be this connection between the details and the big ideas.
As a young woman.
5 years ago.
I used a fleshika for milchika knife.
Yeah.
And I got, what's happened? I was so upset, I phoned my uncle. I said, Uncle Labor, what do I do? So he said, you put it in the ground for 24 hours. I put it in the ground.
Just go buy a new one. Easy.
Go buy a new one.
Don't worry about it.
So was that an instruction? If you make a mistake, put it in the ground, or did he make it?
I think it's for 3 days, but depends. Depends if it was hot or cold. There's all sorts of details around it. Yeah.
But one thing we can extract from this is we got the Ten Commandments, and they're very specific. But there is no commandment which says that you must educate yourself. But the commandments tend to draw us to that, like honor your mother and father.
We do have in the Shema, v'shinantam levanecha, you shall teach your children and your grandchildren. Yeah, right. Definitely, it's part of the Torah.
Absolutely. And that is, I think, a basis of Judaism. And other nations have taken it on as well. I think the most famous one recently is Mandela. I always talk about Mandela, don't I? So Mandela, he said, education is the best tool that you have to change the world. To change the world. Now, this handful of people, Jews, haven't they changed the world? In many ways. Going back 3,500 years with the Torah and the mitzvot. And in today's world, we're still changing the world with inventions, with agriculture, with new stuff all the time. Where does that come from? It comes from education. We'll be talking about that in the second part of Shavuot. Yeah? Tikkun Leil.
Yeah. So what is Tikkun Leil? One of the important customs that we have. We said that we don't have a mitzvah on Shavuot. We have cheesecakes. But we do have something that is really beautiful. Tikkun Leil means repairing the night of Shavuot. And I'll explain. Now, why do we do that? What's a tikkun leil? Basically, studying the whole night. Studying the whole night. And we do that, we call it a tikkun. What tikkun means? Repairing. What do we need to repair? According to the Midrash, when the people of Israel were waiting, there were 3 days before the giving of the Torah, they had to prepare themselves. They had to sanctify themselves. They had to cleanse themselves. They had to be ready for that moment of Hashem appearing on the mountain and give them the Torah. And on the night before, the Midrash says, and instead of the whole people being, excited and could not go to sleep and being, ready for that moment, you know what they did? They went to sleep.
They went to sleep.
They went to sleep. They fell asleep. And Moses had to go from tent to tent to wake them up. Come on, guys, wake up. We need to get ready. Hashem is coming with the Torah.
I heard that Hashem was first. Hashem came to the mountain first And where the children of Israel, I mean, Hashem is coming, you must be there. But they were sleeping, and Moshe had to go and wake them. So carry on.
So they knew they were getting the Torah.
They knew that they're getting the Torah, but instead of showing enthusiasm towards this, you know, they were sleeping. They slept in. So since then, every single year, we need to correct what they did wrong. And we tried, at least, if someone can't stay the whole night, it's all right. But I mean, at least a couple of hours, at least something to mark the night that is a special night.
Well, and then we study. Pesach, and they say, Rabbi, you've studied the whole night.
Yes, some of the rabbis studied every night, every single day of the year.
And they had to be reminded of the early morning prayer, yes.
Correct. But so much more so when it is the gift. It is about the Torah. And instead of being excited about it, they left to bed. So we need to do whatever we can to study and to learn and find an inspiration from the learning.
Is that where it comes from? Tikkun is repairing that night when they slept in.
Exactly.
Wasn't there something about something shattered and the pieces fell all over the world and we have to find the pieces to put them together?
Is that the commandments, the tablets?
I think it's a story.
I don't know. That takes longer than one night.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one. Another thing that's is also very, very special is why do we eat actually cheesecakes? Anyone knows?
Well, we got to have milk, no meat.
Okay, so that's one of the explanations. Right. Before that, they didn't know the laws of slaughtering. They didn't know how to actually make a kosher meat.
Yeah.
So they only after they received the Torah, they realized that they have a lot to learn now. So the easiest way to eat was just consume dairy. That's one of the things.
They're vegetarian.
Being vegetarian, basically. They were allowed to eat meat, but it was a long way to go until they can get a kosher meat now. So the easy way was to eat eat dairy.
Dairy.
The other thing is, in the Song of Songs, we learned that the Torah is compared to honey, to milk and honey. Yeah?
Dvash v'chalav. Honey
and milk under your tongue. So when the people of Israel heard Hashem speaking to them and then Moses giving them the Torah and giving them all the laws, they felt the sweetness of the Torah.
So actually the people heard Hashem. It wasn't just Moses.
Oh, so the first beautiful question. The first two commandments, we read that Hashem himself, as it says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God that took you out of Egypt. Hashem has said that in his own voice.
What do they mean, an outstretched arm? It always says, and Hashem with an outstretched arm.
That refers to all the plagues and the miracles. Yeah? That's so to speak, not that they saw Hashem's hand, but figuratively, yeah, the mighty hand of God. This is what, that were the plagues and the split of the sea, all those amazing miracles that no human being can perform. Showed, so to speak, the hands of God. Yeah? So, when the people of Israel, hearing Hashem himself, they have that sweetness. They feel that this is... They feel this is something very, very special. But the Gemara, also the Talmud, also tells us that really they didn't know what they really want on that moment, so to speak. Although they said, Na'aseh v'nishma, we'll do and we'll hear. And we know that they didn't think,
that's
first
important.
Of all, that's
Na'aseh
important.
First
we will do, and then we will hear. And there's also a very special story about Hashem going to different nations and offer them the Torah. And the nations refused from every nation from a different point of view. For example, he went to Ishmael, to that nation of Ishmael, and offer them, do you want the Torah? What's in the Torah? You should not steal. No, we live on that. We can't take the Torah. He went to Edom, to the Edomites. Do you want to have the Torah? What's in the Torah? You should not kill. No, we live on our sword. We can't have the Torah. until he came to the people of Israel, do you want to have the Torah? And the people of Israel answered, if this is a gift from you, na'aseh v'nishma, we will do and we will eat after.
First of all,
unconditionally we'll take it.
In fact, I said, how much does it cost us? Shem said, nothing. So they said, okay, we'll take 10.
Ultimately, they took 613.
613.
These are the commandments in the whole Torah, 613. With all the details and all the different laws, we have thousands of laws, basically, not just 613.
That's why it takes so much.
But
study.
It's all coming back. It's all coming back to the Ten Commandments. The beauty is that we can connect every single commandment in the Torah.
Every single one.
We have to think hard, but every single one of the commandments we can actually connect to the foundation of the Torah, which all lies in the Ten Commandments. Mm. So, for example, to keep the Passover. Is Passover in the Ten Commandments?
No,
but the Sabbath is. Remember the Sabbath, the day of rest, the day I created the world, the day I took you out of Egypt. Passover is similar to Shabbat as well. We need to rest. We need to fulfill the day of holiness, right? So every single mitzvah, it's a challenge, but we can connect it back to the Ten Commandments. And that's very beautiful.
Beautiful. So should we finish off with celebration in Israel?
What's the celebration? Which one?
Well, I haven't been to Israel at the time of Shavuot, but I've heard from several people that Shavuot is celebrated in Israel by people staying up all night, and they walk the streets of in Tel Aviv. They walk the streets university, and they go from one lecture to another, and some lectures are so full that they run it at 2 o'clock, and then at 2 o'clock they close the doors, and the people who couldn't get into that hall come back at 3 o'clock for the same lecture, and 4 a.m., and people walk around the streets with the Bible under their hands. They don't go to shul for most of the year, but on Shavuot, they walk around with the Bible under their hands.
That's beautiful. That's an opportunity, beautiful. An open opportunity for everyone to come and enjoy the Torah learning. Regardless of their affiliation, regardless of their level of religiousness.
And have cheesecake.
Plenty of cheesecake.
In Jerusalem, they don't walk the streets. In Jerusalem, they go to the yeshivot, and there they study all night.
All sorts of places. Hmm. And that is very beautiful. Sometimes, really early in the morning, you see heaps of people walking down to the Kotel, and they having their morning service in the Kotel before the sunrise. We didn't even talk about the scroll of Ruth as well that we read on Shavuot. Scroll of Ruth, just very briefly. Ruth was the first, so to speak, convert that we know, and she accepted upon herself what we said before. We will do and we will hear. Ruth said, your God is my God, your people is my people. And she joined lovingly.
Where you go, I will go.
Yeah, wherever you go, I will go.
She was the best daughter-in-law ever.
That's right.
But it's also a love story. So when I read about her love story, you know, that she married, and I thought he was a handsome young man, but I was told, no, he was an ancient.
You mean he was old? No, what's wrong with that? Something wrong with that?
Nothing wrong with that. It wasn't quite the picture, I imagine, but I love the book of Ruth, and I think Ruth is one of the best characters.
Totally, and so if we can summarize this program today, Shavuot is way more than just cheesecakes. So take the opportunity, go and study and learn. There are many opportunities, will be also here in Auckland, to hear some good lectures. But if you're not around, take a book, study. This is a journey for life.
Thank you very much, Rabbi. Thank you, Jules.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. And Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach.
And don't forget to listen next Sunday at 10 past 10. And if you've missed this program, you can go to www.planetaudio.org.nz/Radio Shalom. And we would like to thank our sponsor, Nature Bee.